is 9/11, and I hereby call the Committee of Public Safety and Security to order. As we're getting down, thank you all for coming, legislators Harkin, Mona, and Burton. So we have a quorum. As we get down towards the end of the year, we're getting ready to go into our budget season. I wanted to bring back to the committee's attention some of the documents we reviewed really a year ago or more, when the administration did want to, did present, in fact, a proposal for consolidation to the board, proposing to consolidate the Department of Emergency Services and the Department of Public Safety. We looked at that. We made a conscious decision not to do that. And that is still the, as I understand it, the belief of this board that we are not at all moving in the direction of actually considering a proposed merger of these two departments. But at the same time, some savings had been identified during the course of that analysis that potentially could come into being without merger. And I thought, as we get ready for our budget deliberations, we might want to just take a couple minutes and review that, so we're not, against just starting anew, if you will, in budget time. I can assume that to the extent they stand behind these numbers, the administration is probably putting some of these savings into their proposed budget. As obviously we all hear, they're digging around for every cost savings they can find, so we can expect to see some of these things, and that's fine. So I just want to put in front of us, and maybe we can all spend a couple minutes if we want to talk about the Highway Patrol and get into that a little bit. But so you have the couple of documents that we looked at last year. I did not invite in because I thought this was really more a working session. Let me say on the record that, let me back up a little bit. I have, over the last several months, gone to the administration. I thought this might be at least one area where we could work sort of bipartisanly together because they developed these proposals, rather than us going out on our own, as we're sort of starting today. And the administration was certainly open to that, Mr. Oros, and he put Bill Mooney in charge of it. And over the months, yes, he was gathering all these cost savings. And I said, okay, come to us. That it kept, one reason or another, never quite got here. So I found, it's time, we have to meet. And as of today, they did request to put this off, because as it turns out, now Longworth went off to some conference in Oklahoma, and that happens. Commissioner Collins had a death in his family, so he would have come. So there are the legitimate reasons why they're not here, but rather than us putting this meeting off, we have a job to do as a legislature. I said, we can meet, we can discuss. If there's a need to bring them back in the next week, we can, or we don't have to, but I felt, but I want to make it clear that they're not here for legitimate reasons. They're not here for legitimate reasons, although I did see Mooney Thursday night and said, you could come, or George could come. But I understand that the official representatives of the departments have unfortunately, good excuses for not being here today. With that, I think we need to, just take a quick look at this. We hear, they're even flunking. Both departments have a class on CPR. Merging classrooms, things like that. We haven't really gotten any updates of these. So to be fair, Mooney had done this work allegedly, but did not submit anything to us. But I wanted to just quickly run through them, and just so we can refresh our own thinking on this, and come budget time, we will, we'll take a look. Some of their savings were certainly with getting rid of one commissioner and having deputy commissioners, but we're not looking at that. If you want to take a minute, I put the documents in your package. If you want to take a minute to kind of quickly go through them.
What page are you on? What document?
Well, there's the
original one.
June 24th, and then there's an addendum.
So which one are you working on?
Well, let's start with the original, the June 24th.
24, okay.
And I started to say I did not identify. We did have last year, several community groups, the Chiefs Association, Firefighters. I did not reach out to them because I didn't think it was necessary to get that level of detail. But Mr. Harkin.
Yeah, if I could just put one thing on the record. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Last time when we went through this exercise, we had talked about savings in consolidating things like grant writing, some of the back office operations. But the thing I wanted to put on the record is, if you remember during budget season, 20% of the staff of Department of Emergency Services was cut. And this board put those positions back in after hearing extensively from the first responder community, EMS, fire, some police chiefs. And I just want to say, for my district, we were very, very hard hit in the hurricane. We were without power and phones for a week. I worked extensively with our emergency first responders and our local OEM groups. And to a person, they said they could not have imagined going through that storm with 20% fewer staff in DES. You know, things from generators to food to cots to the emergency trailers. Those are the things that kept my district going for a week. So, you know, we have a good record of cutting, of saving, of consolidating, but I think especially when it comes to public safety, we need to be very, very careful as to not impact our frontline personnel. I agree wholeheartedly. What can we do on the backside? You know, where can we do joint training? All those kind of things. But, you know, to me, this is the core of what we do. And I think we were proven correct in that storm. That was a big deal. And this is why we have emergency services. So I just wanted to put that on the record.
Well, Ledger, I think that's a terrific point. I think, you know, that's maybe the main reason for having this meeting, because, as you say, in the real world, when things happen, the department is relatively small, if I recall, an actual, you know, county employees with it mostly coordinating. And I think that's an excellent point as to where the needs are and where our focus as a county government should be. And we may want to watch very carefully any proposed cuts they do make. I know they outlined they had anticipated some retirements. Again, because we didn't get the direct feedback from them, unfortunately, I don't have for you an update as to where some of those personnel matters might be lying right now. But I think when we get into the budget, I think that's an excellent point you raised to anticipate. And not that we can anticipate adding back in, but certainly protecting public safety, as you say, is a high priority, and we shouldn't be rushing maybe to you know, to prioritize where our costs are, our cuts are, and so I think that's certainly the northern, as you say, the northern part of the district in your area. Unfortunately, we learned through the real world this year with some of our flooding, because I did identify some personnel cuts and retirements as where they were hoping to get some savings. And that maybe, I mean, in John, I mean, any, you know, that I think that real world input that you get through your districts is probably the most helpful things we can consider, because, you know, at the budget time it'll be, you know, budget. We don't, these other committees don't necessarily meet. We all bring to the budget committee, you know, what we know. But I think that's going to be the day we do these departments and budget. It's important to keep those lessons in mind.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
yeah, go ahead, Mr. Burke.
Department of Emergency Services lost its commissioner earlier this year with the announced retirement of Anthony Sutton. I had actually hoped to have Mr. Cullen in today to discuss his appointment as acting commissioner, but because of the death of his family, that didn't happen. But that was going to be one of the major topics in his confirmation hearing, is to the extent that his being named as the acting commissioner suggests that the department itself will continue, not be merged into the county public safety department. And the question is to what extent the functions will continue to be run on two separate tracks. We understood, as Legislator Harkin pointed out, we understood last year that the administration's goal was to merge the departments, to eliminate the emergency services department as we knew it, and to subordinate the emergency services function, particularly the first responders, which is a big deal in my district, fire, emergency, ambulance, that sort of thing, as well as pick up the back office ideas. We stopped that here. So the question is, to what extent Mr. Collins' appointment means that two-track approach is going to continue versus how it's going to be merged in, if it's going to be merged in. Since we know that the policy is reflected in budgets, and so to a certain extent, without having that information, we're just speculating. I actually take it as a positive sign that Mr. Cullen was elevated. He's not exactly a new person to this world, and therefore it's, I think, encouraging to know that somebody who comes out of the emergency services community is going to continue to be at the helm of this department. But what the department's going to look like is an open question, and we're 3 weeks away, 4 weeks away, I guess, from now, from 3.5 weeks away from the budget coming out on the 15th of November, more or less, unless the county executive chooses to bring it out early, and we just have to be watchful. I personally am, frankly, suspicious off of last year. I saw this proposal last year as an assault, frankly, on the entire paramedic community, and I think we were right in resisting it, and we succeeded in resisting it. But that doesn't mean they won't try again. But we have to give people the benefit of the doubt. So we will give them the benefit of the doubt until the budget arrives. But I think this is not much we can do in a preliminary review at this point, absent any data, absent any representation from the department.
Is it it may be possible his budget comes out and it's going to have them merged? I mean, that could certainly be in the budget.
Could be
one department, and so we need to be, just getting ready for that. Certainly a possibility. Have any of you, Bill, have you heard, the fact that Cullen was elevated? So clearly he's no longer his own deputy. I mean, there was a deputy and a commission now that he's elevated. So obviously there is that vacancy in the deputy. So have you heard, picked anything up or any impact?
We have the letter from the county executive. But as you say, you could wind up being your own deputy. That is to say, the position could effectively be deleted. But I don't think it's fair to speculate on this at this point.
You haven't brought him in yet, has he?
No, we planned on bringing him in today. And that was all shut down. We had a 12:30 meeting scheduled, but that's gone. Okay. So, no.
To your point. If I may, just to that point that you had said they may be merged in the budget, according to my sources, the county executive went to the Chiefs Association and told them that a merger was not in the cards. So,
okay.
Yeah, that's what I heard too. But I also heard that they're going to try to make some the same cuts they would have made without, that they were going to do with the merger. And I'm wondering, can we get some information? Well, maybe they're not going to.
Well, any questions we have? No, any questions that we can certainly submit.
Well, last year they proposed eliminating certain positions in the Department of Emergency Services. It's on page 14. That I know the fire people I deal with, volunteer fire departments, really had a problem with. And I'm wondering whether we can find out if those are in the cards this year. Some of the major ones were the program administrator, fire services, code enforcement, and the staff assistant for emergency volunteer services to coordinate all of the ambulance and emergency, EMT operations. Those were two that they were eliminating, and then there was another one that I know created a program administrator of fire services. Was that the position Cullen had?
Which one was that?
Program administrator of fire services.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, because he was.
That might be the Pete Pataka position.
That's the Pete Pataka. There was real resistance.
Oh, huge resistance.
They thought he was very valuable, and we needed
For hazmat.
Pataka, right? That's Pataka. He's the guy.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we could do it right now, but I'd like Debbie to be specifically clued into some of these positions. So as soon as the budget comes out, even before we get to that day, we do it.
Yeah, the ones
where Debbie could be, doing some making sure we understand very well what the budget is proposing.
Right,
we added some of these back in that were then,
right.
They did take them out, even though there was no merger, they took them out.
Right, and to that point, I think we have to have an understanding, Legislator Alvarado's committee will go through the dollars and cents, but we need to have an understanding of what that impact to service and support might be, or command and control.
Right, so I mean, we can start, John, the list on 14, but any that... that program administrator for fire service, I mean, any specific job, I want to make sure Debbie is...
I think we should ask him what specific jobs are they cutting either through attrition or proposed layoffs, so we can speak with our contacts in the first responder community to say how, you know, because for instance, having met with them several times with the chiefs and those folks, they said from their end they're willing to see savings through, but they would like to have a seat at the table. And I think part of the problem is, you know, we're sitting here kind of blind. They do what they do in a vacuum without the stakeholders at the table. And the first responder community has said they're willing to work with us and the ninth floor on finding savings, but they just want a seat at the table.
Well, you know, you raise a point. I probably should have done this before through budget. I certainly haven't heard it, but right now, today, I certainly, as your chairman, can't tell you what the body count is, employee count in public safety, emergency services. Is someone's retired 2 months ago or
right.
Someone left. We should. So, Debbie, maybe we can at least make the effort immediately, put a request at the administration as of, 10/24, what's the current employee count in both departments? What vacancies are there? I mean, we just want a snapshot as of today as we get ready, and I should have had that for you, two months ago, but between...
Well, you said budget, it's a work session,
yeah,
so...
but between, you know, budget and during the course of the year, I guess, and that's something, I don't know if Spano is any better at that, but, you know, at least through the budget, we're having a monthly or quarterly update as to body counts, FTEs, you know? Because they could have been making personnel moves or changes and
right.
Don't even know. So maybe we could at least make an effort as of today.
Request
what vacancies or how many employees.
The current employee count
in both departments.
And what vacancies they
were. Yeah, and actually, the Department of Corrections, might as well, corrections and probation also. Let's get a snapshot as of today.
According to this, there was 71, a rich tax levy position, 71.
Right, as of last year. So where is it today? What vacancies do they have? And just so, you know, we have as much information ahead of time, but we should have got something during the course of the year. Budget probably for all, for all the departments should be
It will be in the budget a certain point in time. But I think it's also reasonable that a committee like this be prepared as best we can when the budget committee is working on these particular departments to have already interviewed the relevant people, not just the stakeholders, but I mean within the administration, to be sure that we understand what the budget implies, so that we know that we know where they're going with this, because the numbers sometimes are simply dry and everybody's looking to make cuts, but that's not the same thing as using it as a program template. So,
well, that was one of the goals of today, just to make an effort to do that. But I realize I can't tell you what vacancies
we can. Absent information, how are you going to tell?
But that's something over the months, all of our committees, frankly, probably over the months should.
Well, I know in housing and planning, for example, we're looking at what's going to happen to the planning department if the federal government declines to release the 2012 CDBG money. We do know that if they don't, we will lose a whole block of people in the planning department, to the point that there will simply be no CDBG program to administer, therefore there will be no program specialists, but that also means that all of the ongoing programs will essentially have no staff.
I think that's where the administration was headed.
Well, far be it for me to defend the administration.
Well, Section 8 people went
out. But nevertheless, we don't know.
All Section 8 people, they left at the beginning of the year.
Yeah,
right.
Well, but I'm talking about the CDBG. Right. The CDBG has an almost 20% override for administration.
Right.
That has been used to disperse through, for example, just continuing to monitor compliance with affordable housing use so that the tenants or the owners of them are in fact eligible to continue with the program, that nobody is selling them out from under people. I mean, there's a whole series of things that this override, administrative overhead, provides for. If we lose that, then we have a real problem. The question is whether we would be able to backfill with taxpayer money, and I think the answer probably is no. But then what are we going to do? How do we, in fact, continue to administer these programs? How do we continue to have them? Or do we simply leave it to the marketplace to provide self-policing, which I think we'd be fairly sure that within a couple of years it would disappear. So, I mean, that's what one of the things that I'm looking at. But until we actually know, and that's a federal decision, not a county decision. So the administration certainly said that it wants to continue this management process. But there are a whole series of these things that come through.
Right, really.
And then there's the state budget, which you alluded to earlier with the highway patrol.
Right.
And so it goes.
And every committee. Like the other thing I wanted to raise is this, the National Guard. And again, I'm relatively new in this position. I'm not that familiar with the National Guard, I guess, academy. We had like 25,000 square feet that we got back. I'm not quite sure. Honestly, I can't tell you what's going on in there, what we're doing with it, either from a real estate point of view or a public safety point of view, and whether that's going to pop out of the budget. But I did want this committee to be more prepared, and unfortunately we're not going to be as prepared as...
To your credit, though, Mr. Chair, you're raising the questions. We're having the meeting to formulate the questions. I think this is a good thing.
Right, okay. And as I say, we'll... just be as prepared as we can be, because that's 25,000 square feet. Obviously, the police headquarters, I guess, never did go to Sawmill River Road, which was frankly one of the reasons I voted for it. It made it more cost effective.
Right, because
that was the, some of us had questions just for the Board of Elections. One might argue, well, it was iffy, but we're going to combine, kill that project, put them both in, and now from per square foot. It made it a very reasonable real estate deal.
I think Parks is going there.
Parks is going to go into Sawmill River.
Move it down from Mount Kisco.
Yeah.
Do we own that land in Mount Kisco, or is that rented?
I'm not sure.
Yeah. All right, so they move us one way or the other, but maybe the but I don't know what's going to happen at that National Guard location. Maybe that's where they'll expand.
Well, the administration's talked about bringing a number of units over to there, but also expanding the academy and we since we did build the firing range, we've had a considerable growth in the number of employees who work on that segment of the campus. But I think it would be expressed, for example, in the capital budget, which we haven't seen either, as to the work that would be done there in the old National Guard building.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, we saved, I think it was $14 million by not building a new facility and putting the Sawmill River, but again, that's another question that we can raise. Let me just raise for a couple minutes. It's been one of my pet peeves, and they try to put two sides of the story. The Highway Patrol, the state budget in April, where the governor came out, we closed a $10 billion budget, no new taxes, and somehow they miraculously saved $10 billion. Well, among the various cuts, they cut, I believe, 300,000. Off of the allocation hybrid from 2.2 million down to 1.9, if I recall. So now we're down to 1.9. And I had met briefly with Longworth. I met with the PBA president, Mike Hagan, several months ago. I wanted to walk through his take. And I said, listen, if we don't look at any layoffs, we have this about 25, 26 officers total, that if we were able to put them back in our assets, in the parks, in the Bronx, better safety and security at our assets, between the overtime money that we currently spend and taking some of that overtime money and use it to, instead of overtime, you have people. You don't have to have the overtime because you got officers now to put in the parks. And Longworth told me there's about 16 or 17 officers a year, pretty much an average, retire. So without running the hard numbers, over the course of at least the first year, between overtime and retirements, it could hopefully come out almost like a wash if we took everyone, if we turned down the 1.9.
Give it back to the
Give
state.
Back. Don't take the 1.9. Because it costs over 4. So at some point, diminishing returns. You know what? Keep your 1.9. We'll pay our folks out of the overtime and out of the retirements. Maybe we get past the first year. There might be a small cost, I don't know, without trying to lay people off. hopefully almost break, but starting in year two, now you're really, as more people retire, you're really saving on overtime. You're really, you know, you're, we're ahead of the game. Because we can just have, you know, we don't need those officers. We've lost them through attrition and not had to lay them off. We just have a small force because we're not on the patrol. And frankly, force state's hands, they were smart. They'd pay us the money because I'm sure it's more cost effective to pay us to do it. Either pay us an appropriate amount and we'll do it, or you come out with Poughkeepsie and you do it. You know, in one accident, that some takes 5 hours for a state trooper to get there and some lawsuit. Well,
they have a closer barracks, don't they?
Yeah, they've got one in Somers.
In Hawthorne or Somers.
Somers is a big one.
But, you know, I don't know how many times, but it has come to my attention that this, you know, don't forget, the state is on 287, 684 in the spring. I think at least those are. At least several times, we have gotten called to the county, let's say on the spring, there's an accident on the spring. Well, the state, they're not too close. Can you guys cover it? And our guys, you know, good public safety. Our guys went out and do it. We don't send the state a bill for it. And I said, well, how many times has it happened?
but to that point is, could the state provide the same level of service to keep the traveling public safe? And that's a legitimate point. And the other question is, the commissioner has said those officers up and down those parkways are also used for mutual aid. And because they're on the parkways, they can zip right into the municipalities.
Pete, no doubt that's the other side.
Right.
That's the other side. But I know, and you could go back into communities. On the one hand, I mean, there's mutual aid between the municipalities. Sure, if our guys are on the highway, sure, it's relatively easy for them to come off. But that's, you know, I talked to my guys in Port Chester. These they go year to year, don't see the county cop. And they're just maybe not necessarily close to the hutch, although they are a little bit. So it's municipality by municipality.
Right, because I know they come off the sawmill a lot into Mount Kisco and some into Bedford.
Yeah, now, again, it's another provision of service that the county provides. Is that the overall intent of our priorities? I mean, there are all the local police forces. We don't get paid extra, mutual aid between municipalities. So it's an issue. It certainly adds an extra layer of public safety. I'd be concerned also, our folks travel on these highways, and if we want the best possible coverage on the highway, someone gets stuck, there's an accident. But then again, at what price? It's a state road. State legislators should be concerned about their constituents driving on the hutch, and you know, are they providing sufficient security for their roads at the end of the day? We don't discuss 287, 684. I don't know what goes on 684. Is there...
That's state.
It's state. So is there sufficient
patrols?
Yeah. Is there sufficient service? I don't get it.
Yeah. In fact, the Bedford Town Court is, I think, the second busiest state court for a town because of all the tickets on 684.
Right.
There's a big speed trap there.
But are there complaints that the state is not sufficiently?
I have not heard any.
Yeah. So I mean, when they have a clear responsibility to do it, they presumably are.
Although I say the Spring Brook, many of us drive to Spring Brook. There's very little speed enforcement on the Spring Brook, and people are flying on that.
Well, that's where I hear where the county folks are pulled out. The state, that may be maybe the stepchild of the state. They look at 287, 684. Maybe they don't quite get over to the Spring as much as they would call us out. And, you know, we're there, our guys, hey, there's a problem. Our guys went out and take care of it. But that's one way for the state. It's like backfilling. So the state, I don't have the money. And so, anyway, but keep in mind, you know, you know, I may try to reach out to Larry Soley before the budget because there are those other issues. You know, there are the public safety issues and the mutual aid. There's clearly an issue there that, you know, some folks will raise. But when you're balancing, is it time to play a little, not say poker with the state, but say, hey, here's the deal. Pay us and we'll do it. But if you're cutting a short $7 million and then throw another $300,000 because you want to balance your budget by saying no new taxes. Well, there's no new state taxes. I tell my folks, I go around and say, well, by the way, there was a new county tax. When they closed their $10 billion budget, they're running around, no new taxes. They're not precise on that. So that, I mean, I'm open to, certainly, I mean, I won't be here next year, Bill won't be here next year, but I'm certainly open to have that conversation at budget time, and those of you who, you know, will, put on the table.
Yeah, I think that's a good conversation to have, because, you know, there is the public safety side, but there's definitely a fiscal side that structurally we see getting worse every year.
At least, we could put in, there's state money through March, because that their budget goes through the end of March, right? So we have, you know, we could put in some money, let's say it's going to run through June, and say, you know, before June, before they do their next budget, they better figure out, or come June or July, our guys are coming off. And
is there a document that reflects what agreement exists for us to patrol those roads? We ought to get it, just see.
I went back. I went just on the history of that. It was 1994. And interestingly, Andy O'Rourke, this was a deal between Richard Brodsky and Governor Cuomo to get rid of the tolls down on the Sawmill.
Right.
And so it was political. They were running, and there was their deal. And O'Rourke was sitting here, and his press releases are saying, listen, I don't agree with this, because that money is taken and pays for the patrols. But if you guys want to do that, not one penny of county money is going into it. He was very clear. This is your deal. Go do it. Whatever you want. Leave us out of it. And they came up with like $2.6 million. So the deal was the state would pay $2.6 million out of their coffers to pay for it. All right, and it pretty much covered it. Well, that was 20 years ago. It was 20 years ago. And 2.6 is now down to 1.9.
Yeah.
And the cost is up over 4. But O'Rourke, to be fair, was, hey, you know, not my deal.
There's no document that reflects this.
So it was all a state, I don't know, between the cat, it was all a state deal. And I think that, you know, Nick Spano would reach out, get some money. I think every year it just became a state, you know, get money in the budget to give us some money. But I don't know. I mean, Deb, we could look to see if there's a contract.
Maybe there is.
See if there's a contract. But I'm not, you know, I don't know. It was really just a, it wasn't a county-state deal to do this. This was all Brodsky and Cuomo.
And they just put it in the budget every
year.
Just,
they just, right.
Yeah.
Whether there are, you know, commitments, how many people, how many patrols.
Yeah.
You know, Debbie, can you see if there's a specific document that sets that out? But they cut $300,000 out. They didn't say, you know, therefore you can provide us with less police or do less service, just keep providing. And like, you know, so many others, they just slowly back. So anyway, it's for years we kind of talk about, but maybe we can at least have a good conference, see where the administration is on it. They may, hey, you know, who knows? They may be, but in talking with Hagan, at least just, you know, for the record, is, you know, obviously his big concern is his officers. And if we can run the numbers and figure out a way to work that through attrition and overtime money, and you know, so they listen. Somebody's going to lose a little overtime money, but it's not really a loss of jobs. To kind of get us through a first year or so, it may be certainly worth something to pursue. Any other comments? We'll do some minutes. But I just, you know, again, Bill, I agree with you to have Cullen here to really kind of go through, because I think we all agree emergency services. It would be nice to hear from him, but death and family is a death in the family.
I'd move the minutes of the 19th of September and the 3rd of October.
Second.
And I think, John, you raised, we did change, you know, some of these minutes. Maybe I think you had raised some issues on, but Debbie went back and rewrote.
Oh, yeah, no, they were fine. Yeah, it was the allocation of resources that we wanted to be more clear of what we talked about there. Thank you.
So moved by Mr. Burton, second by Mr. Arkham.
It was actually Mr. Nolan.
Oh, Mr. Nolan, second. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
So we have that. And I appreciate you coming in for this. I think it was,
Mr. Chair.
Try to do our job.
That's right. That's why we make the big bucks.
That's why we're here.
Motion to close.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Harkins and Bird. All in favor. We stand adjourned.
Well,
thank you, gentlemen.
I'll see you this afternoon. You're going to meet this afternoon?
What time?
1:30?
Yeah.
Okay. See you
later. Definitely.
No
appointments.
We don't have appointments.
No appointments. No. Because Cullen couldn't come, there was no point in having
him. Yeah, I thought you were referring to this afternoon. Oh, sorry. 4 o'clock.
You don't need a quorum for your 1 o'clock.
1:30.
Or 1:30. Yeah, you don't need a quorum for that.
That's all.
All right. So then I'll call you to be back.
Well, you know, maybe we can join the budget.
We'll decide.
I don't think so.
Send in a request for the information.
Okay.
I'm gonna show up.
You know, they're gonna be. They're just not gonna.
Right. Barney will see you.
Yeah,
thank you, Bill. You know, so let's not. You know, we knock our heads against the wall. But if we get these, if we get up to the numbers, that'll be good enough.
Okay.
Yeah. So
I
don't have to beat that much. You know, we're gonna get budget. Screw it. We're off the record.
All right.
Okay. Good, Debbie.